Psalm 16. Joel Madura is going to come and teach us in a moment. I'll read the psalm first. You see the page number 549. Great. This is the second in our summer series. We're looking at the Psalms that are mentioned by Jesus' followers or by Luke in the book of Acts that we've seen in recent months. So we're going back to look at those Psalms that are mentioned in the book of Acts. Psalm 16, the heading says it's a miktam, and no one knows what that word means, of David. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that open. Joel, do you want to come up? So this is Joel's last Sunday working with us. He's got annual leave to take through to the end of his working contract with us. So Joel, you're not moving out of Dagenham at any soon date, are you? So we would love you to come back after the holiday so we can say a proper goodbye to you in term time when more of us are here. I hope that you and Lana do that. So we won't, you know, we won't say all the final thank yous and get the hankies out today, but we will do that. So thank you for what you've done. Anyway, we're looking forward to you teaching us now.
Yeah, please keep the Bibles open on Psalm 16. Now let me pray before we have a look. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would deeply implant your word in us, and that my heart might be warmed by it, that we might grow in our worship and service of you. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So many people in Britain are honored for their faithful service. You know, mentioned there are some examples of people. So children, this is going to be a children talk. If you would love to come to the front, you're very welcome to come and sit in the front. But if you're happy to stay at the back, it's fine. So I'm going to show some photos, if anyone knows, next slide. Does anyone know who this person is? Andy Murray. And he was... He was rewarded for his contribution in the field of sports. And then the next one, David Attenborough. Very good, very good. 2 out of 2. He was awarded for television and his contribution in television and for nature. The next one, anyone know the next one? No. So this Dame Sonia Boyce. And she was rewarded the Dame status for her contribution in the field of arts. And then the next one. So does anyone know the name of this lady? No? So her name is Dame Parveen Kumar. She was awarded the Dame Award for her contribution in the field of medicine. So there's different people, and it's just not those who are alive, but throughout history, kings and queens in this land have honored people for faithful service, and they receive titles like Sir or Dame, and so we call Sir Andy Murray or Sir David Attenborough. We call Dame Sonia Boyce, Dame Parveen Kumar. But today we are going to meet someone honored by a far greater king, God himself, and God honored one faithful servant in an extraordinary way. And that's what we're going to see in today's Bible passage, Psalm 16. So if you look down at Psalm 16, verse 10, and because of his faithful service, this is a promise that's given in verse 10, if you look at it. So God says he will not let his faithful one to see decay. So that's the main thing we're going to look at. And the question we're going to answer today is who is this faithful servant whom God would not allow to see decay? So that's the main question we are thinking about today. Who is this faithful servant the psalm is talking about who God will not allow to see decay? So for that, we're going to think about what does decay means. And so use an illustration.
So you have
flowers. So you can see the flowers. They are fresh at the moment, but it can go on to wilt. And later on, it might look a little bit like that. Huh? Yeah, heat is one of those reasons. But you can see in the next slide as well. Yeah, the flowers start to wilt, and then it starts to decay and go bad. And then next slide. It's not just the flowers, but we also see in the fruits. You can see bananas. You buy bananas at home. The bananas are once fresh. You can eat them, but later on, they go bad and they wilt and they decay. You can see the black one there. You don't want to eat them. And it happens to fruits as well. But just not fruits and flowers, but also for humans. Once we die, our bodies start to decay. Yet in Psalm 16, it says that there is one faithful servant. Even though he dies, he will die only for a time, that his body itself will not grow into decay. And who is the servant? At least we can learn from this psalm what kind of servant he is. So the servant, if you look down in verse 1, it says, he's a servant, he takes refuge in God. He says, he makes a prayer, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge." So in the olden days, there were castles which had strong walls and can protect you in times of danger. People go and take refuge in a castle when enemies attack them. I don't know what the psalmist, the servant is facing, but he says, whatever the trouble is, he's going to take refuge in God alone. And from verse 2 to 8 onwards, if you read, you see all his desire is about God. All his desire is for God and nothing else. Verse 3, you can see he also delights in God's people. And verse 4 onwards, you can see he doesn't go after any other gods. So verse 4, it says, "Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour the libation of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips." And so the libation of blood, it just means they were in those times, there were special drinks and people did sacrifices and poured the blood of animals probably on other god statues. But he says he's not going to do any of it. His heart's desire is not to go after any other gods, but to stay faithful to the God of the Bible. And then verse 7, if you can see, he says he's a servant who only listens to God's instruction. His heart's desire is to listen to God's instruction. So he said, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. So his heart is full of God's instructions, the counsels, and he is being taught by the teachings of God day and night. And that's what he desires, to be a person who delights in God's word and walk in the ways of God. In verse 8 it says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. So that the word eyes can be also translated from the original language as desires. His desires is always on the Lord. So he's a servant who always desires what is from God, and he is a man who delights and desires what is of God. So he's a man, we can see, who is completely faithful. His desires are like what God has revealed in the Word, in the Bible. Modern day, we don't have a lot of other religious idols which we go and worship, but still we have other people who tell us things. We have our own desires and feelings. We have celebrities come up with their own ideologies. We have philosophers who come up with their own ideologies. We could also think, what do we desire? What do we want to follow? Are our hearts like this servant's hearts? Have any of us lived like this faithful servant? If you're honest to ourselves, the honest answer would be no. And if you have been noticed when the psalmist is read, the psalmist read, it says it's a mikdam of David. So it's something which is written by David. Is it about David? And that's what we're going to see. Who is this perfectly faithful servant? Was David talking about him? That's where we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. Like Joel Edwards mentioned, we are going through a series we started last week. We're looking at the Psalms that are connected to the book of Acts that we looked earlier as a sermon series. So if you look, the verses from Acts have come on the screen, where the Psalm 16 verses have been put, where it says, David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. These are words from the Psalm, Psalm 16, and then the next slide. And then he goes on to say, Peter, one of the early followers of Jesus, he then goes on to say, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and is buried, and his tomb is here to this day. So in front of our church, there's a lot of tombs. We know the names of the tombs. We know that these people have been buried here, and they are no more alive, and they have decayed. Similarly, Peter was an early follower of Jesus, was in Jerusalem, where David's body was buried and has decayed. And he says, his tomb is here. The man who has written this Psalm 16. His tomb is here. His body has decayed. David was not talking about him. But what is he talking? Who is he talking about? They go on to read. He says, but he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. So David was given a promise from God that one of his descendants will forever be a king. And seeing what was to come as a prophet, when he saw what would come 1,000 years later, he spoke of the resurrection of Jesus, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. And Peter goes on to say, God has raised Jesus to life because it is the fulfillment of Psalm 16. So this is the man that Psalm 16 is talking about, that God has promised that he will not allow this faithful servant body to decay. So David was buried, his body decayed. But in Acts, Peter talks about this man, Jesus, whose body didn't decay. He came back alive, resurrected. And why did God honor Jesus? God did not raise Jesus simply because he was powerful. God honored Jesus because he was perfectly faithful. As the psalm we looked at, if you go back to our psalm and look at the psalm from verse 1 to 8, all the things that is said about the psalm, in the psalm, it's about Jesus. He was that perfect servant of Jesus, the servant of God, who always desired in his heart to follow God and to walk in the ways God has ordained in the Bible. Jesus fulfilled everything perfectly. He always trusted God the Father. He always obeyed the Father, God. He never followed any other idols or any other gods. He delighted in God's will and fulfilled it with every thought, imagination, and desires. He always took refuge in God the Father, even when people put him on the cross and mocked at him, saying, if you are God's own son, can you come down from the cross? He still took refuge in God the Father to deliver him. And what did God do? God did not abandon this faithful servant body to decay in the grave. And that's the faithful servant that this psalm is talking about. And why does we need to know about this faithful servant whose body didn't decay? Perhaps you're thinking it's wonderful for Jesus. He has done something. He has come back alive and gone back to heaven. It's good for him. And he has got his rewards. But what does it mean to me? And what does it mean to you here in Dagen? And the answer is in Acts 2. If you go to the next slide, this is what Peter asked those who listened to him on that day when he talked about Jesus, the faithful servant, to do. To those who listened and were stuck in their hearts because they were not a faithful servant of God. And they wanted to know how God would respond to them. And to them, Peter said, repent. And this is the first thing Peter wants them to do. Peter wants them to acknowledge that they didn't have the desires to follow God. They were not a faithful servant of God. They walked in their own ways. And they have to turn around, say that, sorry, God, I didn't walk in the ways you desired. Can you help me through Jesus Christ? And when we do that, I think there's another one that is mentioned there, forgiveness of our sins. I think that is from the resurrected faithful servant Jesus, there comes forgiveness from God to those who turn to God and ask for forgiveness. He offers forgiveness for our wrongdoing. When we say we have not been a faithful servant, the faithful servant who has risen and gone to heaven will offer forgiveness from heaven. And we can have that even today in Dagenham. This applies to us because there is a faithful servant who has risen and gone to heaven. For those who repent, there is forgiveness of sins. But also Peter says, there is not only forgiveness of sins, there is a gift of the Holy Spirit. There is a new life that comes from God Himself for those who turn back to God and say, "Sorry, God, so far I have not been a faithful servant." And then once we receive the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the one who changes our desires to be in line with Psalm 16. Not because we earn God's acceptance by being a faithful servant, but because we already have confessed our sins to the faithful servant, and we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, we now will be able to have the desires that were in line with the desires of Jesus. We will be able to desire the same desires that Psalm 16 talks about. So we can say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit," and we can have desires that are similar. You can say, "Have desires that think, without you, I have no good thing." You can say, and desire that God's holy people are more precious than even the celebrities and the sports people. Your desires will be aligned in a way that you will no longer look after other gods or look for security and comfort in money and wealth and fame and success. And you can have desires where you will think that you alone, God alone, is our portion and our cup. And our security lies in God alone for our future. Our desires can be changed when God gives the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. But that's not the only things that can happen to us. We can receive repentance. We can receive forgiveness from God. We can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit even here in Dagenham, even today morning. But we also can have a hope, like mentioned in Psalm 16. So in Psalm 16, it's mentioned, in verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make me known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." We see a level of confidence that is, verse 8, it says, "I will not be shaken." And we can have that kind of a hope and a confidence even when we see death all around us. We can have a great hope when we see some sad things happen. Because one of the saddest experiences in life is seeing people die from among us and to see their bodies decay. But Psalm 16 reminds us, Jesus' body did not remain in the grave. And because we belong to Him, death is not our end. The risen Jesus is our resurrection. For Jesus said, He is our resurrection and the life. In this land, we honor faithful servants with titles such as Sir and Dame. And we learn in the psalm that God honored one man, a faithful servant, by raising him from the dead before his body saw decay. That servant is Jesus. If you have not trusted him, Peter's message in Acts 2 is simple. Even today morning, all you have to do is repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful servant. And if you have already belonged to Jesus, we thank him that he has lived the faithful life that you and I can never live. He died the death that we all deserved, but he rose again and now has offered us forgiveness He has offered us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he has given us the sure hope of the resurrection, that we can say as a psalmist that we will not be shaken. So whenever we read Psalm 16, remember the question, who is the faithful servant whom God would not allow to see decay? The simple answer is Jesus Christ. And because of him, we can also sing this song and take refuge in Jesus. Let me pray as we finish. Father God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he has come and lived a life in this world and died for us. He allowed his body to be broken and blood should be shed so that we might receive forgiveness from God and the gift of the Holy Spirit and a life everlasting. Thank you that you have united us in Christ, that we can say we will not be shaken. For those who are seeking and looking into the Christian message, now we pray that you would help them to understand the message from Psalm 16, and you would guide them to the truth. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.